with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That one little scripture there, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. As I was reading that today, a few minutes ago, just a little thought came to me. And that is, if it's not broken, don't fix it. If it's not broken, don't fix it. And many times, I was thinking of a friend of mine that just put in a new sink and kitchen set in his house, and he thought it was good. Everything worked on it after he put it in. He thought, well, that's the first time I've done it. That's great. I accomplished it without any problems. His wife came in and looked at it and had a silver faucet on it. She didn't like it. She wanted a gold faucet that she just saw down at Walmart. She wanted something different than what he just put in. So he's like, well, okay. So they went down and wherever it was, they bought the faucet. And he came home and he took the old faucet out and put the new faucet in. And whenever he got to doing the hookups on it, he never could get that faucet to quit leaking. And till this day, I think that faucet still leaks. And that's been about 2 years. He never could get it to fix. And I was teasing with him. I said, you fixed it once. Why didn't you just leave it alone? And that's my thought tonight is, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. This Pentecostal way has been known to work throughout the history. The Bible has been known to be the truth throughout the history. But so many times people try to come along and try to change things to make it fit their life. They're trying to fix something that's don't need fixed. It's the truth. It's what God wanted. But yet so many times we try to change it to fit our lives. And when we do, it don't work. It don't work, and it gets us in trouble. I remember back whenever I was, my first car that I got, I did something really stupid. I thought, well, I got it, and here I just had new tires on it about a month, and I thought, I was out messing around with it. I thought, well, I'm going to rotate my tires. I've only been driving on them for a month. They don't need rotated. But I was wanting something to do, and I was just eager to mess around with it. It's a 79 Chevette and just a piece of junk anyway, so I was just messing around with it. So I took all the tires off. I switched them and stuff, but I forgot to do one thing. On the passenger side, I forgot to tighten the lug nuts up. So I'm all excited. I just rotated my tires, and I took off out of the driveway, and I took off down where we lived in Cherokee Park, and I got up the hill, and I made a left-hand turn. You'll never guess what happened. That tire came off my car. And there I'm landing on my axle, sitting sideways. And I thought my mom would kill me. If I'd left it be, the tires didn't need rotated. But I just wanted to have something to do and be eager to doing it as a 16-year-old boy. And I messed up big time. But if I'd left it alone, everything would have been all right. And that's the way we are with our lives. If we'll let God just have His way in whatever He's working with us and dealing with us, instead of us trying to do something to change it. A lot of times situations and trials that we have is for our perfection. To make us a better person. Sure, we don't like it and we want it to end right now. But if we'll let it be and let God work on us, we won't make it a bigger mess than what it already is. If we'll leave things alone that happen to us and let it be, they'll work out theirself. If we'll not worry about what other people think and say about you, let it be. Let them talk. That's something I learned. People says, you don't care what people think about you? If they're my real close friends, I want to know what they think about me. Because if they got something against me, I want to know. It may be helpful for me to know that about myself. But if it's somebody who I don't know, I hate to say it, but I can pretty much care less what they think about me. If they want to talk about me, let them. They're leaving somebody else alone. So why should I go to them and say, Jim Lawson, why are you talking about me? Most of the time when you do that, it's because probably it's true. It offended you. It hurt because it was true. If what Jim said wasn't true, I wouldn't have worried about it in the first place. The people that really knows me know it's not true. So what does it matter? If we just leave things alone and let God take care of it, it'll all work in the end. We won't have to worry about it. I won't have to worry about what Jim says, because it'll come all the way back around. And he'll have to face those lies one of these days. He'll have to worry about it, and I'll just sit back and say, ha ha, I don't have to worry about it, because I didn't worry about it. Not that Jim's ever said anything bad about me, because I'm sure he hasn't. Jim's a good friend of mine. But I was just using him as an illustration. A lot of times people like to confront somebody as soon as they hear something. And that's our human nature. But if we'll just let it be, let time pass, time will heal a lot of things. That's something that I have had to learn in the past 2 years probably, 2.5 years. I've had people that's been close to me say things to me that I really didn't feel like they should have said. Not that they were saying any bad thing about me or anything, but it hurt. I just felt like they should have had a different attitude about that. And there for a while I thought, well, who do they think they are? Have you ever been that way? And then I let it get to bothering me. I thought, well, they shouldn't have said that. And then next thing you know, you just try to avoid them. If they're walking on this side of the church, you walk on that side of the church. Stay away from them. The next thing you know, you got to be at the altar and say, God, forgive me, because I felt that way. When they had first said it, if you had just accepted it and say, oh, well, and go on your merry way, you wouldn't have been at the altar repenting for something that you really didn't do. You didn't do nothing. You just didn't like what they said, and it hurt you. But you had to repent because of the effect of the hurt. Because you had hard feelings towards them. If we'll just learn to... I've got pretty much the attitude that I take pretty much things as a grain of salt. I don't let it bother me anymore. I used to. But you can't let it affect you, because it'll affect you spiritually. It will drag you down spiritually. But if you just let God take care of it, He'll fix it in the long run. You never do know. That may have been something to help you. I remember back whenever, well, I won't say where I was at or when, or may not sound too good, but I was with a friend of mine, and whenever I was younger, I have to admit, I didn't have the best temper. A lot of them said it was just the Whitaker in me, but no, it was Shane in me. I don't blame it on my family. It's just me. I didn't have a good temper. I'd get mad. And I was praying about it. And if you want God to correct something, if you don't want Him to correct it, don't pray about it. Because if you, he'll correct it, and you may not like it when he does. So I was praying about it, and I was with a friend of mine, and this guy was, which I knew, was picking on him. And I just thinking, I said, won't you just leave him alone? I said, you're three, he was almost twice my size, and I'm a good-sized person. I'm like, you're three times bigger than him, just leave him alone. Next thing I know, he hauled off and knocked the daylights out of me. He hit me right in the face, and I was always the type of person, I don't want anybody touching my face. If Mom would get mad at me, she would only have to do one thing. She's got a spot on each one of us children where she needs to hit us. She wouldn't have to hit me hard. She'd just like that, and it would make my face turn purple. I'd get mad. My brother, Billy, she'd smack him on the back. He would get so mad when somebody smacked him on the back. There's each one of us had a spot. And this guy put a welt across my face when he hit me. And I just stood there, and I just looked at him. And inside of me wanted to jump all over him. But there's another part of me just said, just walk away. That day, God taught me that I need to control my temper. He taught me the hard way, because I just walked away. I met him 2 years later at youth camp. This guy lives in Oklahoma. I met him 2 years at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. And he came to me and he said, Shane, he says, for 2 years, that has tormented me because I did that. And he sat there weighing almost 400 pounds, crying like a little baby, saying, I'm sorry, because I should never have done that. Right. Now, what would have been the effect if I would have went back and hit him back? What would have happened? Right. Number one, I'd have probably got thrown out of college. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. He almost did. And I went in there and talked to Brother Bean and said, no. I said, you don't need to do that. It was the day before our graduation. I got my graduation pictures, and you can see a welt on the side of my face in my graduation pictures. But I thought, no, God was teaching me a lesson. That's what I told Brother Bean. I said, I've been praying about my temper for the last 3 years. God showed me that he had that under control. Something I prayed for from my freshman year to my senior year. I said, God, I get mad too easy. Correct it. And ever since then, I've not really had a problem with my temper. I've only been mad one time that I ever known that I scared myself when I got mad. Because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was young then. And I probably cried and prayed for probably 6 months over that. It hurt me because I let myself get that mad. More than it did that I didn't do nothing whenever I did it, but I was just so mad that it upset me that I let myself get that mad. And that's when I was determined that I was going to correct that in me. And a lot of times if we just let God take control of the situation whenever we face it, instead of saying, well, I'll fix that. I'll get him back. Just let God fix it. Let God take control over every situation in our lives. And until we do that, we learn to do that, we're going to make our life a whole lot miserable for us. And just let God fix it. Because a lot of times he lets things happen, and he lets it happen for a reason. And we think it's broken, so we try to fix it. But it's not. It's God's plan. It's God's plan for that to happen. And if we'll just sit back and say, okay, Lord, it's yours, then everything will work out just fine. I know a couple months ago, I was praying about some things, and I'll be honest with you, it's mostly my will. I wanted to do it. I had everything planned out, the date that it was going to happen, everything all scheduled up. I had a job in Alabama. I was wanting to move with my brother. He had looked around for some jobs and stuff. We already talked about it. May 1st, I was moving out of here. And that's what I wanted to do. I prayed about it and prayed about it and been praying about it for probably almost a year. Finally, I said, God, if you don't strike down our lightning from heaven and let me know what's going on, I want to take it as your will, and I'm leaving May 1st. Praise God. Oh, about February the 20th, I guess that lightning split me between the head and hit me and said, don't go. Well. So I said, okay. And I was like, are you sure about this? Nothing else. No other answer. I got the one word, do not go. Even though I kept praying about it, he never did. I never felt nothing else. Finally, I determined, well, I guess I better not go. And I didn't. You know that if I had went, I would have been a disaster down there. And I really didn't realize how much a disaster I would have been until I got sick. Yes, sir. I left my job making decent money. Yes, good insurance that I don't have to pay nothing for. My boss pays all my insurance. I'd have picked that up, and just about the time I got sick would probably have been about the time that I'd have started working. Yeah. No insurance. I missed probably a week and a half of work at my job here. You think a new employer lets you miss a week and a half work? No. The week and a half that I did miss, my boss paid me for. If they did let me miss it down there, do you think they'd have paid me for it? No. I've been down there with my brother having about $7,000 worth of hospital and doctor bills. With me on his shoulder and him have to help me worry about. Instead, I'm here, my insurance paying for 90% of that, and I've already paid the other 10%. God helping me take control here. Only because when he said no, I stopped. I may not have liked it when I stopped. It had to break my will, because my will was to go. But I stopped. And because of that, I don't have to worry about being a burden to my brother in Alabama. I don't have to worry about being down here with no insurance or nothing like that. And since then, I feel a whole lot better now than I did. You know, my legs turn numb on me. I've got about 2 inches on my kneecaps that are numb, and that's it. So I've got about 95% of my feeling back in my legs. The doctors told me that the mobility in my legs will never be the same. As far as me moving around, I was joking around with him. I said, well, I guess I won't be able to play basketball anymore. I don't like basketball. So I never played anyway, shot around a little bit when I was a young person, but that's about it. So I looked at him and I said, no, that'll pass with time too. Time will take its toll on that. And I've been doing a rehabilitation program down at my uncle's gym, working with my legs. No. They may know something I don't know. A lot of those good preachers has helped me understand a lot of things that I didn't understand.
Why, sure.
Just because I disagree with them? No.
My.
If I would have counted all them out, I wouldn't know half that I know.
Why, right. There's a lot of good stuff.
There's a lot of teachers that I had in college. I didn't agree with a lot of things. And whenever you point them all the way down to the point, they had to back off.
Come on.
We had one teacher, he hated our class. He had to. Because he would get up and teach something, And there was three guys we sat all together. Well, four. There was me, Arlie, Matthew, and Anthony. We sat right there all together. And he was teaching, and we'd all look at each other like, what in the world is he saying? Where is he coming from? And all of a sudden, you know, our hands went up. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What do you mean babies are going to hell? How do you figure that out? You tell me a 2-month-old baby, if it dies, it's going to hell? Prove it with the Bible.
Right.
Prove it. And he'd go around circles with it, and we'd say, prove it. He'd go around circles again. You're chasing your own tail, running around and around like a little dog. Prove it. He'd keep going around circles. We'd say, forget it. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes. And that'd be the end of discussion. But if I would have took everything I taught, that he taught, and swallowed it, even though 95% of things that he said was good, just because the one little 5% wasn't no good, I'd been in trouble, because I'd have believed the way he did about that.
You're preaching, Shane.
But yet, I took the bad core out of the apple, ate the apple, and I threw the core away.
Hey,
and said, no, I don't want none of that.
Hallelujah.
Church, if the doctrine that you know, it amazes me how that oneness still our people. It really does.
Right.
It happens a lot. It amazes me how the Baptists still are people. Why is it? How can you say that you grew up in a church all your life, spoke in tongues yourself, and go to a Baptist church and say there is no Holy Ghost, no speaking in tongues? How can you do that? I can tell you how. You came to church all your life. The pastor looks at you and says, you need the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. So you pray and pray and pray and get the Holy Ghost, but you don't really have the experience. You don't really have the Word of God to back it up, what you believe. Somebody else comes along and says, oh, that's not right. That's not for you. That's just your emotions. That's just you being like the other person. That's not true. Come to our church. We'll show you how it's done. So they go to their church and they just sit there. Now, didn't you enjoy yourself? Well, that is different from what I was used to. Yeah, we don't have to be scared half to death when Captain Nate takes off shouting.
Yeah.
I didn't have to jump 5 foot in the air because Karen Nate took off shouting.
Hey.
Well, we don't have to listen to Princess when she gets up and testify.
Uh-huh.
We really ain't got nothing to be excited about anyway, so let's just go there. So you let people talk you into something that you really know that you don't believe.
Right.
There's something inside saying, stop. Stop. But you override it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go. And then you go. And then you go.
And then you're gone.
Oh, I'll just visit. That's one thing that happened to one of our good sisters here. She just visited. It hurt me so bad when she left. I really looked up to her as a young person. I looked up to her. She's one of the ones that was faithfully that bring me to church. She's one of the ones that helped me stay in. But yet she left to go to Oneness Church. That hurt. That hurt. How? How?
How can it be?
How? Because we let somebody change the scriptures around, twist them all together, shove them all together, leave a few words out, and we don't really know what we believe.
Right.
Whenever I was Sunday school superintendent, that's one of the main concerns of me, was teachers know what you believe and teach it. Coloring's good for a little class. But in that coloring, there should be scriptures that they have to read to color. Different activities are good for classes. But don't bring the NIV version in your classes to teach them from. Have the Word of God there to show them what you believe. And another thing that I mentioned the first day that I was Sunday school superintendent and I had a meeting with our teachers. Live what you say you believe. Live what you say you believe. You tell those kids to come to church. You better be there. You better be there. Because those little kids are going to pop up one of these days and say, where was you at Wednesday night? Where was you at Saturday night? Why wasn't you here Sunday morning? It wasn't my turn to teach. But you tell us we ought to. If you don't live it, you ain't got nothing to teach. Well, I've went past my time.
Doing good.
But, church, let's know what we believe. And not try to fix something that's not broken.